kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruits as evidence of your repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now, the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance. But the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I knew that the people who were going to were dog people, and they finally decides she's going to take a chance. She's going to let the other one come and sin her. Right? Have you seen this? The reason I said be brave is because the prophecy from Isaiah is telling us all we've got to be that kind of brave. How much brave? What did he say? He imagined the day when the lion will lie down with the lamb. When the wolf and the goat will live together. Now, what do lions usually do to lions? Come on, kids. What do lions usually do to lions? They eat them. Lions eat lambs. What do wolves usually do to goats and sheep? They eat them. So, do you think if I'm a lamb or if I'm a goat, it's going to be a little bit scary to play this game and to have to walk into his lamb den and lie down right next to him? It's going to be really scary. And that's exactly how scary and how wonderful what God promises us really is. God has a gift that he wants to give each one of you. The little ones in here and the bigger ones in here. But in order to get the gift, you've got to be really, really brave. You've got to open yourself up to being really, really hurt. You've got to put yourself in a position where you don't know what it is God's going to do with you. And that can be super, super scary. Like when we get put in a new class in a new school and we don't know anybody. That can be really scary, right? Or when we get a new job in a new city. Or a new house or apartment in a new part of town and we don't know anybody. That can be really scary. Or when mom and dad are fighting. Or mom or dad don't live together anymore. Or I move to grandma and grandpa's house. That can be really scary. But we've got to be willing to put ourselves in those positions because we know that God has our back. That God has our best interest in mind. And he's going to find a way to give us a gift even in the midst of what's really, really scary. The next 2 or 3 weeks are some of the best and some of the hardest of the whole year for most people, right? We wind up getting together as families and with friends that we might not see the whole rest of the year. And because these are people that we know a lot, but don't spend an awful lot of time with, it's hard and it can make us kind of anxious when we go. Like if we're little, we know that at these big dinners, like Thanksgiving or Christmas or the parties before Christmas, you know, the grown-ups aren't always so happy. And you know that, like, mom isn't allowed to talk to uncle who's dad's brother because it might not turn out very well. Right? We all know that story. Or everybody's got an uncle who always has too much to drink at the table and then says something that causes a fight. Every family's got this or some version of it. It's really, really scary to go into those situations. And so what we try and do to keep the peace, to make sure everybody stays calm and nobody yells, nobody gets in a fight, is we don't ever talk about important things. But I'm going to challenge you this year, both the little U's and the big U's, to talk about the most important things. To talk about what you care about the most. Not to prove the other person wrong, not to win an argument or a fight, not just to get a rise out of them to see what might happen, even though I know growing up we used to do that, so it's fun to see what happens to girls. I have a sister too. But because the things that are most important to me, I want to share with the people that are most important to me. Say it again. The things that are most important to me, I want to share with the people that are most important to me. Sometimes, especially the big grown-ups, like the grandparents, they have a tendency when we get into situations like this, they just want to tell everybody else why what they're doing is wrong. Like, when I was a kid, when we had And in this way, I want to speak directly to our little, so all the school kids here. So kids, the grown-ups in here, a lot of them at least, they know a lot about Jesus or about the church. But a lot of them, they forgot what it is to know Jesus the way I know you still do, the way you know your best friend or your mom or your dad, to know him down here in your gut and in your heart. I know that you guys talk to Jesus because I watch it each day at school, and not just from teacher nation. I had a situation this week. There was a kid who had gotten in trouble and was out in the hallway as I was walking through the school, and he was crying. I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "What he did to get in trouble." I said, "Okay." I said, "How long are you out there?" He told me. I said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Because I know this doesn't make Jesus very happy." He wasn't crying because he was in trouble. He wasn't crying because of the punishment. He was crying because for him, Jesus is real. He's not an imaginary friend. He's not a tool that grown-ups use to get kids to behave. There's a word for that. It's called blasphemy. You do it over your house and stuff. He's real. He's not just as real as you are. He's more real than you are. And because of that, our kids are the best chance we all have of drawing closer to him. Today, in the scriptures, we hear about John the Baptist, who was a kind of a wild, scary character. He lived out in the wilderness, rough clothes that he made himself. And he ate food that he could find, mostly bugs and honey. But he had to take the honey out of the comb from the bees. The bees didn't always like it. He didn't have fancy suits, he wore a day. So he would have had spots all over his face and his hands and looked rough and tumbled. John the Baptist, he had a very special mission in human history. His job was to look everyone in the eye, absolutely everyone he met, and say, "I know you. And you're not who you say you are. There's something wrong with you. Deep down on the inside, there's something wrong. There are sins you keep hidden, even from the people you live with. You judge people out in public and then go home and do the very same thing. God wants to do something in your life, but he can't do it until you first recognize what's gone wrong with you." And you know what? The little Zalos, they teach it to me every day. They don't believe it. They'll accuse themselves before the teacher has to call them out. Grown-ups, we've got to learn to be more like rules. This is why Jesus said, "Suffer the little children. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Because they know. They remember. Not because kids are all perfect. Anybody who spent 2 minutes in front of these knows that's not the case. But because they're closer to the beginning. Because they're more honest in their responses. The four fundamental moves, the whole history of the human race are these. The first is tuition. The world's pretty cool. There's a lot of good stuff in it. You want a cheeseburger? You want a cheeseburger? What do you want? Pizza? What kind of pizza?
Pizza. I need pizza.
Pepperoni? Yeah. Hamburger pizza? Brussels. Hamburger pizza? Cheeseburger pizza? Hamburger pizza? Cheeseburger.
Cheese pizza.
Ice cream. These are amazing things, right? That's the first intuition we all have. There are things that are really, really cool. And as much as babies squat when they're not getting help, what happens when they get it? They're never faced so content. There are things that are good. The world is good. Second intuition, we learn a little bit later, like He's done everything. The world is messed up, and so God came to fix it. He didn't send somebody else to do it. He came and did it himself. The story of the Lord Jesus isn't, it's not about, like, coming to teach us how to be nicer to each other. You could have figured that out. You might have done it, but you could have figured that out. It's not simply a way to get people to behave better or to think that God loves them to give them a funny feeling. The story of the Lord Jesus is your story. The story of the Lord Jesus is your story. Our kids watch a movie or a TV show that they like a lot. They watch Star Wars, and they pretend to be Rey or Luke or Obi-Wan. They dance around the house swinging lightsabers at each other. But they aren't, and they know they aren't, Rey or Luke or Obi-Wan. Come to the church. You're baptized in Christ Jesus. You receive his body and blood. You're not going to get it. That stuff's real. It really is your story. His story is your story. That's what your kids don't remember how to pray. They've made it their story. Well, we made it our story. And when we look to the friends and family members that we get to enjoy in the coming weeks and not be mostly anxious about conversations we don't want to have, but we'll be ready to help them make it their story too. Can we be brave? Just like our kids.